Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I want to share with you a story that I got an email from, and I'm going to wrap it into another story that I've already lived in my life and try to put the two together and show you something important about life. One of my favorite sayings in life is, I used to be sad that I had no shoes until I met a man that had no feet. Don't we all feel that way? Don't we all have this little bit of twinge in us that says, well, it's unfair. If only, if it could have, would have been. You know, you watch sports events go, the referee missed the play. We would have won if they hadn't messed us up on the play. If only I were taller, if only I were smarter, if only I came from a wealthier family, if only I had better education. If I wasn't so old, I could do it. If I wasn't too young, I could do it. If I didn't have bad credit, I could do it. If I, had no job, I'd have the time to do it, but because I have a job, I don't have the time to do it. But because I don't have a job, I can't get any credit. It's this way of thinking. And as much as we know that there's a tremendous number of us out here, and I throw myself into that group sometimes, I get all butthurt and pitiful about stuff in my life that I wasn't lucky enough to have. And it started out when I was a kid, when I was 200 pounds in fourth grade, was ugly, had to wear Coke bottle glasses. And I said, how do I survive on an earth when there's good-looking kids out here that the teachers like because they're good-looking? Because they're good-looking, they love themselves, they're funny, they're happy, they're excited about life. They like each other because good-looking kids and fun kids like each other. And here I am, this little fat kid all by myself over here in the corner because nobody wants to talk to me. Because I really, not somebody anybody would want to talk to. I got no experiences in life because I don't get to be with anybody else. I don't have any friends. I mean, just feel the pity, self-pity in these comments, guys. And I grew up in that kind of self-pity. Until one day, something happened to me that changed everything, which was I read a book about a guy that was 400 pounds, who lost, 175 pounds or something like that, and got down to 225 pounds and won Mr. Universe. And I thought, if this guy can do it, why can't I do it? Why can't I change from this fat, round blob of human flesh into a chiseled, ripped to hard, ripped to shreds, body that people would just gawk at. And I remember putting pictures all over my room of bodybuilders with great abs. It was always the abs that I cared about most. I wanted the ripped abs because I was a fat kid. And I emulated that. Every day I'd look in the mirror and I'd dream of those abs being there. And as I lost weight and as I worked out and I got closer and closer, I could just envision it. By the time I actually became a contestant winner, I'd already thought that through my brain 1,000 times. So it was almost anticlimactic. It was like, I've been there, done that 1,000 times in my brain. And that realization that you can, with your mind, create a completely different world for yourself is what I want to talk about today. Napoleon Hill's statement, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. But you have to conceive it. You have to believe it. And before you conceive it, believe it, you have to even see it. You have to see it somewhere. Somebody has to put it in front of you and you go, wow. Now, the really special people in this world see things that no one's ever done before. They see things that have never been accomplished and say, why not? Many of us say, how? These people say, why not? And so today, we want to talk about some of this why not kind of conversation. So back when I first started investing, I bought some houses. I used up all my cash. I had no more cash. So I decided that I wanted to partner with somebody who had money. So I'd let them put up the money. I'd do all the work and put the debt in my name, signed for the credit, because I had good credit. But I just ran out of money buying houses already. I was cash poor, house rich. And so my first partner was a gentleman that was a cosmetic dental surgeon. He made very, very good money. But unfortunately for him and his life, one day he was working with a chainsaw in the backyard, trimming some tree limbs, and he cut off his thumb. Can you imagine that? Cut off his own thumb. Now, they picked the thumb up and put it in ice and took him to that surgery, and they sewed it back on, but it couldn't move, never the same. It was just a stub. And so he could not perform dental surgery anymore. And he was living in a nice home, nice neighborhood. Kids were going to college. I mean, this gentleman needed money. He saw our ad. He came in. I met with him. He was the nicest guy in the whole world, most down-to-earth, ethical person I've ever met, probably. Unbelievable guy. And so I talked to him about, hey, let's do something together here. And he said, yeah, I'll do that. And so we went out together and we bought 11 houses. And then we bought a fourplex. And it was like, wow, two things happened. A symbiotic relationship in life, whereas I knew nothing about raising capital and syndicating deals, creating partnerships. I knew how to buy a rent house. I knew how to operate a rent house. But by getting in with this gentleman, I learned a whole new system. And from there, I went to another family with one of the members was a doctor. And I did, with that family, 10 units, 5 duplexes. Then we moved on and we bought 15 more duplexes. So we had 30, so we had 40 units. And then we went on and bought 45 townhouses. So altogether, we had bought 80 units together. Then I met with another lady who was retired, and she and I went out and we bought 4 fourplexes and a couple houses together. And all of a sudden, I had over 100 houses in less than a year, year and a half, whatever it took, I don't know exactly. But I had learned a completely new skill set that allowed me then to go on to create lifestyles, to grow lifestyles, to teach other people how to do all this stuff, and to eventually accumulate thousands of units instead of just 10, 20 units. That teaching taught other people how to buy thousands and thousands and thousands of units. Curtis Haynes now had 7,300 units last time I talked to him. 30 apartment complexes. Do you understand he's never owned a piece of real estate before he came to Lifestyles? And now, because he's taken what it took me 28 years to develop, he's able to pick it up 5 years ago and run with it and have 10 times the results I had. Just unbelievable. This is the way life works for those people that say, why not? Those people that say, I don't know, I don't believe, or they say, how could I do it? Just do not survive in a world where there's people that say, why not? Why not me? Why can't I be a bodybuilder? There's nothing that says I can't. My genetics don't say I should, but that doesn't mean I can't beat my genetics. Right? Why can't I be a millionaire, although I was born into a poor family, a very blue-collar, middle-class type of family that never really had anything? Why can't I be a multi-millionaire? Or just a millionaire to start with. But once I was a millionaire, I said, well, why can't I be a multi-millionaire? And I started looking up people, everybody that was on TV, everybody that was famous. I started looking up their net worth. And it gave me a new goal to say, why can't I be as wealthy as an athlete, as a movie star? I don't need to be them. I just need to know that there needs to be more zeros for me to get there. And so I changed and said, why not? Why not me? Why not Del Walmsley being worth $100 million? Why does $1 million have to, what is $1 million? Why can't I be worth $100 million? Why not? And the answer when you ask why not is, well, of course you can. If you're willing to do the things necessary to make that work, to make that occur, and you just need to go and find that map and then work that map. There is no reason why not for any of us. There is just how. How do I do this? And if there's enough why, I guarantee you, this is from Tony Robbins, if there is enough why in your sentence, the how will come easily. But there has to be enough why. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing the concept of feeling sorry for yourself as opposed to just getting out there and taking action. Sitting there and coming up with 1,000 excuses why you can't be a millionaire. 1,000 excuses why you can't be financially free and retire in 3 to 5 to 7 years, just like everybody else does that decides to do it out there in this world. Why can't you? There is no why you can't. And so what I want to do right now is I want to read you a letter that was sent to me, and it's private. I'm not going to use the person's name because I did not ask permission to use the person's name. But I guarantee you this is a real email that was sent to me, and I think it really highlights the concepts we've been talking about here this morning so far. And I quote, "Today marks the third anniversary of the automobile accident that almost took my life and kept me from being able to practice dentistry for most of 2014. But I have good news that has happened as a result of joining Lifestyles Unlimited. Jennifer and I just closed on our first multifamily property as lead investors yesterday, exclamation point. This property is a real gem in the cultural district of Fort Worth, and we are excited with this step in our journey and the returns we have planned for and past investors in our deal. We joined Lifestyles in June of 2014 when I was still recovering from the accident and have been fully immersed in training, mentoring, and networking ever since. Mentoring from J.B. Durham and Don Rao helped us determine our roadmap, and we have followed it without deviation and have seen positive results and can see that more are to come. We began by adding to our single-family portfolio with two additional profitable single-family properties and became passive investors in four multifamily deals. The very next day after your 25th anniversary celebration, we left Houston and visited a property that we began to underwrite for acquisition. This turned out to be a good learning experience, but we decided it was not the right property to purchase through the help of our mentoring team we had assembled. We underwrote more properties and got deep into the offer stage on two of them, but these did not result in contracts. The networking and friendships gained through Lifestyles resulted in a successful acquisition we just completed yesterday. I am thankful to Jennifer for not giving up after putting in so much effort with no multifamily properties purchased for over 15 months. This journey has been good for us as a couple and has strengthened our relationship while developing new skills and enhancing existing ones. As you know, Lane Bean embodies the abundance mentality. Lane is a friend who knew we were trying to purchase another property in the same submarket as his. This particular seller just wanted too much and the numbers would not work. Lane was working on closing his second deal and knew about another property we now own. He told me about it and that we might be able to get it off the market if we acted quickly. We immediately sprang into action and were able to get it under contract with a few days. Wow, now we own it. One of the large multifamily properties we invested in back in January 2015 is under contract to close later this month, which is going to return our original capital and a nice profit that we are planning to reinvest into multifamily as soon as possible, with plans to utilize the 1031 exchange provision. Just wanted to share our good news and say thanks for helping us from where we were on the day 3 years ago to purchase our first multifamily property before this milestone passed. Jennifer said it's Beth this morning when she said, "Now we mark this day by something positive instead of the accident. A plan formed with knowledge and desire, executed with persistence and encouragement by others of like kind, will result in successful outcome. We are proud of that. Thank you, everyone. Lifestyles Unlimited." Now think about this. We start with the human beings whose life has been devastated. Accident. Thinks he's going to lose everything. Pain. Hospitalization. Recovery. And while everybody else would have sat around and felt sorry for themselves, this gentleman said, I got to go take action. I got to do something for my family to survive if I'm going to lose my dentistry practice. So he joins Lifestyles. And he proceeds to study and learn and get prepared. While all the while, you know, studying and learning to become a lead investor, he meanwhile picks up two more additional income-producing houses and gets out in there and invests with four passive deals so that he can learn this business. He's going out with the people that are already good at it, getting in deals with them, and watching and learning and studying what they did, just like I did with the guy that was 400 pounds that became Mr. Universe. You need a mentor. You need a map. You need somebody who's been there. He then, by joining Lifestyles, accumulated mentors all around him, both Lifestyles actually paid mentors and Lifestyles members that have already been successful. So now he's got this group around him. He keeps calling it this group that he has formed of people, like-minded people, that will help him succeed. He's got what it takes. Then he runs into his second challenge, the challenge that life just isn't that simple. You don't just go out and buy a property, make $1 million with it, your first deal, if you buy the first property you see. You've got to underwrite them. You've got to go and see if they make sense. And if you do, you go after them, you challenge yourself. But even then, you could be too slow. Somebody else who has lots of experience might be able to beat you out. But because of the 18 months of underwriting three or four other properties and not getting them, you have sharpened your underwriting skills and you have developed a keen sense of what it is that you need to have in your life to be successful. And so when Lane Bean said, "Hey, here's a deal, but you're going to have to move quickly," he leaped on the deal. He didn't hem and haw and kick the tire and piddle fart around. He leaped on the deal and locked it down. Because he had honed those underwriting skills. Because he had this clear vision. Just like I had the clear vision of my abs. The pictures on my wall were what my abs were going to look like. Or I was going to die trying. He already had that picture of the property he wanted. And when Lane Bean showed it to him, he leaped on it. And now he owns it. Now he owns it. So he's now got rental houses. He's now got passive deals. One of which is going to pay back all of his invested capital, plus the cash flow that's made and whatever profit it makes on the capital gains when they sell it. He's going to take that money and he's going to extend. He's going to continue to grow. This gentleman has changed his life. He's gone from losing everything to being in a better financial position than he was before the accident. And his wife sums it up so perfectly that from this point forward, we won't remember our life from this date as the day of the accident. From this point in our life, remember this day as the day of change in our life. Change for the better. Is that making lemonade out of lemons? Come on, guys. What are you sitting at home doing right now? Why are you not out there making lemonade?
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
You have to get rich quick to get rich. Rich is where you have a large chunk of money you don't need. Or a astronomical chunk of money that you don't need. It is not having a few ducats in the bank. It's not the American dream of having a 401k or an IRA or a savings account or a college fund for little Billy. How rich is rich? What do people compare to wealthy? When I was young, the first thing I compared to was I wanted to make more money than my dad did. But my dad was not even anywhere near anything better than lower middle class. And so I remember when I made $70,000 a year working in a health club, I thought I was rocking it because I was outdoing my dad, who was a CPA. You compare yourself to your parents, and your parents say, "Well, I don't want this life for my kids." This little increase from your parents to you is an increase. It's a success. I say no. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes. Del Walmsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. I want to cover something that is rather interesting, and that is right now people are afraid that the marketplace has peaked. As far as real estate goes, many people believe that because they've seen it run up a whole bunch in the last couple of years. Since 2008, it's been going up, 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 up. But what really needs to be understood is that the market hasn't gone up so much as it's changed. Whereas before 2007, the American dream, according to George Bush and all other government people, you know, both the Democrats and the Republicans, was that, you know, everybody should own 40 acres and a mule. Or in other words, everybody should own their own personal residence. That's the American dream, to own your own piece of real estate. Now, here's the logic behind that. The logic is your home would be your largest physical asset that you own in your life in most cases. You may have a 401k. It may become worth more eventually than what your personal residence is. But the old idea was you buy a large residence that your family can enjoy and live in. That's your enjoyment in life. And then over whatever period of time, 15 to 30 years, you pay this thing off. And now this is a gigantic asset, one that you would never have. That asset is going to appreciate in value and is going to keep up with inflation, right? And then there's the giant crash in 2007. So now everybody sees the world completely differently. Now they see real estate as an expense and as a risk. Not as a guarantee, but as a risk and an expense. The risk is it may go down in value, and the expense is there are massive costs to keep it up. I've just gone through this myself, getting ready for my annual party. I had to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to replace all the dead plants. Of course, my house is a little larger than everybody else, but to replace all the dead plants in my yard from the freeze. And plus, get ready, manicure, pools, ponds, landscape all had to be upgraded and everything to get it ready. And, you know, that's just a tremendous cost for the average person. They really can't afford that. So what has happened now is that people would rather rent and eliminate those expenses and reduce the risk, the downside. Now, that makes sense. I understand that. But what does that mean to us? As landlords, as investors, it means, hey, they're giving up the keys to the asset. We now own the assets. So wouldn't you have liked to own General Motors? Wouldn't you have liked to have been Ford and owned Ford Motor Company? Wouldn't you like to have owned, I'm trying to think of the, you know, giant electric company that was created by the guy that invented electric light bulbs? You know, telephone company, wouldn't you like to own AT&T from the beginning, or whatever, Ma Bell, I guess it was the original? These are the giant assets of our world. And the ownership of those assets give you income, power, and appreciation. And when you no longer own your home, you don't have any income, power, or appreciation. Your income is only what you can schlep out every day at your job. And if you can't schlep it out, or if your job goes away, you got no income. You have no assets. Your assets can disappear in a moment's notice with a stock market crash. You know, if you owned your house and there was a crash in your house, you don't have to sell your house. You don't have to sell your rent house. It's paying you rent. It's paying your mortgage. That's not a problem, right? But the stock market crashes and you're living off of that. You have to sell something to live. So you've got to sell at a lower price than what you purchase at. But in a rent house, we don't have to sell to live. We're living off the cash flow. We can hold on to that asset until it revives and comes back up like it is now. So what is happening is that we are creating mega wealthy landlords that own all of the resources and the assets in this world. And then we're creating all of these college educated kids living in house, rent houses and apartments that have no assets, no wealth, and in many time cases can't even get a job that pays enough to pay off their college debt. We are creating a society of haves and have-nots. We are eliminating the middle-class America in our society. Right now, think about it. We are eliminating that which our parents strove to be, which was that middle-class success zone, where you live better than your parents lived, you have more, you dream that your kids would live better than you, and everything seemed to get better every generation, or at least every year after year. That is gone. We now have the haves, people like myself and everybody else that's an investor, who are getting wealthier every single year, and the have-nots, which are getting higher and higher expenses on them every single year. As the cost of housing goes up radically, they are staying broke paying for that cost. As the cost of food and automobiles and clothes goes up, they are staying broke because of those costs. And because they are broke, they can't go buy a house because they don't have the 20% down. They have bad credit from borrowing to buy things they can't afford to own, and their lives are destroyed and going down. It's like a toilet. It's funneling. It's going down. It's not coming up. It's going down. Right? Whereas the haves, their wealth is growing like a snowball. As the snowball rolls down the mountain, it gets larger and larger and larger. But as their resources go down the toilet, that bowl gets lower and lower and lower. That's what's happening to our society today. And this article right here is just three, four, five-page article. That's what it's basically saying, is that, hey, it's saying renters are staying renters. So if you're thinking, wow, did I miss the boat? I didn't get into the rental business soon enough. You are wrong. The rental business is exploding because no one wants to own, and or they can't. How do you go buy a house if you can't come up with 20, 25% down? How do you buy a house if your debt-to-income ratio is too high because you can't make as much money as all the stuff it costs you to live? How do you buy a house if you can't, if your credit's bad? How do you buy a house? The answer is, you don't. You rent on for the rest of your life, and you stay in that subservient customer position for the rest of your life. On and on and on, just trying to make it from day to day to day, from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. The only way you can break that cycle, my friends, is to get your money out of that stupid 401k, which pays you nothing. To get your money out of that stupid IRA, which pays you nothing. Start investing. You need to buy some real assets, not paper assets, real assets that do three things at the same time. Number one, pay you a dividend every single month. Your 401k does not pay you. Your IRA does not pay you. Your paid in full home does not pay you. You need something that pays you. Number two, that will keep up with inflation. Yes, all things keep up with inflation. Gold keeps up with inflation. Rocks keep up with inflation. Hog bellies keep up with inflation. But so do rent houses, and so do apartment complexes, right? And number three, you can leverage them. You can go out and buy them on leverage. Without leverage, right? Without leverage, you're not going to be able to make the kind of money we make, which is the very high rates of return. The returns that you hear us talking about on this radio show are real. We're not making them up. These are people coming in and telling you, this is what I did. Now, I haven't gone out there and authenticated that, but they have no reason to tell you differently. This is what they're doing. This is what we do, what we teach. You just are not getting a part of it. And because you're not getting a part of it, your net worth is literally going down compared to our net worth, which are going up. And over a period of time, the inflation is going to eat that dollar sitting in that 401k away to nothing. And over time, inflation is going to make our rent houses and apartments worth mega millions of dollars. Inflation helps us as far as value of our houses. It helps us as far as rental increases. It hurts you by owning cash assets, paper, stocks, and bonds. Inflation destroys those investments. And you, my friends, are sitting on the sideline going, well, Dell, I don't know if I should believe you or my financial planner. This guy's got a degree. He's got a license. He's an idiot. You know, I know that. He's still working. If he knew what he was doing with money, he would be rich and retired. He would be having 150 people over this weekend for a grand, gigantic party. But he doesn't, because he doesn't have any money. He's got a job. He has nothing. Believe me, go find him out. He's a liar if he tells you he's rich, because he's not. He's an employee. We'll take a short break. Let's see what time it is here. Now we got about 20 seconds here. So one last thing before we go to break. Go check out your financial planner's net worth. See if he'll show you his financial statement. Then you know whether or not you want him manipulating yours. Take a short break. Be right back with the Dell Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Dell Walmsley Radio Show. Dell will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Dell Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Dell Walmsley Radio Show. Want to learn more about Lifestyles Unlimited and the Real Estate Education and Mentoring Program? Call us at 866-945-6565. Today we've been discussing all sorts of things. The next topic I want to cover is making bad decisions in life. The average person thinks like a poor person, and I really believe that they believe that the world is a zero-sum place, that either they can have or they can't have, they do or they don't, they're rich or they're poor, or they're broke or they're not, right? And so you've got these ideas that people have been telling you your whole life, and there's, you know, a radio show out there, Dave Ramsey, who talks about getting out of debt, like getting out of debt is the secret to life. It isn't the secret to life. It is the secret to getting out of debt. But then what do you have? You have a broke person. A person out of debt is a broke person. A person with millions and millions of dollars is somebody who leveraged their way to success and became financially free. But you see it all the time. I've got two or three emails here that sort of point that out. Let me read this one to you. It says, I was paid a $40,000 bonus last year. Instead of saving this money for investing, my wife paid off her car and an ATV of mine. Now, first of all, how does the wife get control of your bonus? That's your bonus. Right. But I guess this guy's got that relationship with his wife where she runs the family or whatever, or at least the finances. But this was really a stupid thing for her to do, because with the $40,000, they could have gone out and bought two rent houses and make $500 a month each positive cash flow. That'd be $1,000 a month. They might have picked up $10,000, $15,000 in equity, made another $20,000 or $30,000, and they would have made two or three times the amount of money that she paid off. But instead, they can't make any money. They would have $1,000 a month positive cash flow, which easily would have paid that car payment and ATV payment. Probably even more. Why do I say that? Because the interest on the car was only 3.5%. Wow. Now think about that. 3.5%. You could go out and earn cash flow of anywhere from 10 to 20%. And you're going to pay off 3.5% interest. 40 grand paying off 3.5% interest, or 40 grand earning you 10 or 20%. That's a no-brainer, guys. Earn the 10 or 20% and pay the 3.5% off at whatever rate that it's needed to be paid off. And if you make way more with the 10 or 20, which you do, then use those payments to pay those things down if you want to do that, if that's really your goal. But is your goal really to get out of debt, or is your goal really to make more money? See, the problem with the average American out there, all you think about is expenses, because in your life, that's all you've ever had control of, is your expenses. What I'm telling you, you need to start thinking about in life is the income side of the equation. Business people think about, how can we produce more income? We will always work at controlling our expenses, making the wise decisions. Although these people had a great wise decision. They had 3.5% interest on this note. That's a great decision. That's easy money. They made that right decision. The bad decision was to pay that note off. Think about it this way. I'm going to give you a little example. I know this is way beyond your ability to think if you've just started listening to the show, but let's just try it anyway and see if maybe I can help shake you out of the nonsense that you've been taught your entire life. Let's say I could go borrow $1 million right now. And it's going to cost me 3% to borrow that million, or 3.5. In fact, let's make it 4 just to make it simple on our brain. No, let's say 3.5, just what they have. So $1 million at 3.5 is going to cost me $35,000 a year. If I go make a 20% return on that, I'm going to be making $200,000 a year. I take the $200,000 a year and I pay the $35,000 a year off, right, that I have to pay for those payments at 3.5% interest that I borrowed. I'm making $165,000 a year net cash flow because I borrowed $1 million. Now, your goal would be to get out of paying $1 million and not be in debt. My goal is to get in debt so I can make the $165,000 a year. It's completely opposite of what your parents taught you. That's why they're not multimillionaires. It's completely opposite of what your teachers taught you. That's why they're teachers and not multimillionaires. It's completely opposite of what your CPA taught you. That's why they're CPAs and not multimillionaires. It's completely opposite of what Ray Lucia teaches you, and that's why Ray Lucia is a radio guy and not a real estate investor, because he didn't know what he's doing. If you know what you're doing, debt will make you rich. If you don't know what you're doing, debt will turn you into a radio announcer by the name of Dave Ramsey, and you'll tell everybody else not to go into debt because you couldn't figure out how to use it correctly. But the rest of the world has, and that's why they're mega rich, right? So it's completely opposite of everything you've been taught. I call this oxymoronic. Life is oxymoronic. All those things they tell you to do, like eat all the food on your plate, turns you into a fat person. Eat the pyramid of food choices, which turns you into a diabetic, right? Go to school for 8 years of college, which turns you into a broke person with $200,000 worth of debt and still no ability to get a job. Everything that your parents taught you in life is backwards. If you were to go out and start your own business at 20 years of age, by the time all your friends got out of college at 28 years of age, you'd be a millionaire and they'd be broke with debt that they couldn't pay off because they're broke and don't have a job. Completely backwards. I could go down hundreds of these things that they tell you to do, which is completely backwards. Buy your first home before you buy a rent house. No, buy the rent house and have the rent house paid for your new home. Completely backwards. Go buy a lot to build your dream home on. No, don't go buy a lot that 40 years from now you might be able to put a little piece of garbage house on. Take the money you bought the lot with, buy yourself an apartment complex, become a multimillionaire, and then build a real dream home. Exactly backwards again. everything is backwards that they teach you. I call the term oxymoronic. It's a completely opposite of what people believe to be true. And because it is completely opposite, it takes you away an opposite direction from wealth, success, and happiness, and leads you towards poverty, pain, and living a life of quiet desperation. That's the difference, my friends. That's the difference between being on that wheel of life, the little rat cage, running like a little mouse for the rest of your life, or living out here like the lion, the king of the hill. Have a great day, and remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
For listening to the Del Monsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Monsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.